welcome. Welcome, namaste. Welcome to satsang. Hello, everybody. Okay, so let's sit quietly for a moment. And let's start with that. So the whole purpose of sitting quietly is to redirect attention to the self, to you, and not to the world of forms. So sitting quietly means to even be quiet all the way in, because we have regions of subtle forms, just as emotions, thoughts, sensations. So we want to be even quiet towards them and not be engaged in attraction or aversion, because our aim is to awaken to who we are. The world is very, very enticing, and the mind always comes up with another story that is interesting, that needs to be resolved, that promises liberation. Every story promises liberation, but it is actually a binding. No story will promise you liberation. No diversion from self will promise liberation, because it can't. Right, welcome everybody. So there are some questions and comments, so I want to address them first. And maybe first I want to see something else. I want to see something about chopping wood and carrying water. When we are little, then we know we can probably only carry one piece of wood and maybe carry a little plastic bucket with water. When we get older, we can carry more and we can chop more wood. We have a certain strength. We're able to handle the axe and we can actually do things. So as we get older, the more strength, the more power we have to be in the world and to affect the world. And the world also, we're able to receive information from the world because we have enough awareness. So our awareness keeps growing and our power grows to affect the world around us. So the whole thing about realization of self is not an either-or thing that we're like all transcendent and silent. And then that can get boring, but the world is so exciting, right? Because we need the stimulation on the physiological levels and etc. So what often happens is that there's a very, very strong attachment to experiencing the world, because to the mind, not experiencing the world, just sitting quietly in meditation is just in essence boring. At some point it's just like maybe peaceful for a while, but even peace can get boring. Even bliss can get boring. Everything can get boring. The light even can get boring. Because you're having an experience and everything you experience is happening in the mind and will eventually be discarded because the mind cannot tolerate what is not designed to be stuck on one experience. It just wants to continue move, and because of the nature of time and space, there's always something new happening within the mind. Although it might be always the same topic, the same pictures and images, but just variations of them. So if we go and chop wood and carry water from a place of enlightenment, then we are having a lot of awareness that we bring to the action of chopping wood and carrying water. And if we continue doing this, one might say, a bystander might say, well, why are you still doing this? You're already enlightened. There's nothing really happening. Yeah, there's nothing really happening in reality. And you are one with this reality, having realized that. But the forces of nature are continuing to move in time and space, and you're bound by them, and you need to follow that. And when you do that, there's beauty in it, because you are building more and more power. You have more and more your engagement is going to build more energy, more awareness, and with that more power. Now the trick is now to not get suddenly lost and say, I am chopping wood, I am carrying water, I am doing all this, and I want to do it differently, and tomorrow I do it at a different time, and I do this in this way, and I'm in and all that. When once we get into the story, then we are lost to truth and reality. So why am I saying this? What is that Atma talking about? I noticed that we are again at a point where some, I'm not saying everybody, but some people are not, have lost again the understanding, or they're caught in duality and don't know exactly what it means to awaken. Being spiritually adept and cunning and genius and all that, it's nothing to do with enlightenment. Might have something to do with being a great magician, but nothing to do with realization. So I want to answer a question here. Kim, you had your birthday. And so the question is, let me just see so that everybody knows what's going on here. And I'm not sure if she has her hand up. She said she might have bad internet again. What happens on our day of birth when we put our attention on the area above our head, crown chakra? I did this and was pulled upwards and disappeared. Since then, it's like I'm going through an intense cleanse, lots of unconscious stuff coming to awareness, but things are moving through really, really fast, instantaneously, or in split seconds, or deeply rooted things in most minutes. I feel reborn in a way I can't explain. So what happens? First of all, I learned that, you know, there's a clear understanding that on your solar return, you are going to have a really nice, big, shiny aura because you're really aligned with that moment in time where you came in as a soul into physical form. Is this relevant to enlightenment? No, because you're never born, you never die. So you didn't really come in. It is in a bigger picture, it's an experience. Depends what school of yoga you go to. You either will see it as it's a dream that you came in because you're really not really never came in. But there's a part of you that, or an aspect of you as a spirit that can experience time and space and project out into a form and then has experiences. Or you are going to look at not just at you as the Atman, which is always free and part of the Param Atman. You might look at yourself more in a Western way and say, oh, there's the soul. It exited this source. Yeah, there's a lot of story in time and space. It kind of traveled away and got denser and denser and has now a physical form. Now we have to travel back. It's a very 3D thinking, right? So depending on however you want to say it, and, you know, since humanity is conscious and can talk, they have probably argued and discussed, like, how do we see this? Well, the whole point is that seeing is what changes your reality, and you are the seer. So how do you see things? And this is what WLS is all about, to see things correctly. Now, if you are, and from your physical point of view, put your attention on your head, which you can do, then you are more easily aware of that extension, or you could say the alignment to the heavens and to the sun, right, which you are at your birthday bringing forth or is radiating through. Not just your birthday. Maybe it's a Sunday birthday. And I just made it a spiritual technique, which I found out, developed, thought of, came to me, invented, whatever you want to call it, that basically helped me to move out of this whole experience of there's a birthday and another birthday and you're going round and round in time. I basically just used my day of birth to connect more easily with where I came from, you could say, or the memory of the self, because the sun and the self, hence the Son of God and Christ and all this, always points to the light that we are and the central sun, center of the galaxy, etc. That is a way of establishing again a maybe not just a connection, but more like a remembrance of who we are and where we came from. And it's very easy on the birthday. Because, you know, you can think in 3D that you're going around and around and you're just getting older. That's the 3D story. We can make it a different story. I made it a different story. So that's what I can say to that. And then Kim is saying, I'm drawn to just sitting by the sea for hours at a time. It seems to me many messages are being relayed, galactic and from further afield, some aliens, I'm like a radio antenna, a conduit in some way. messages are sent through me where they're meant to go. I have no conscious understanding what these are, but have a knowing. It feels like past, present, future are becoming a new something. I feel I need to live here or by the sea at least. Can you speak about this too, please? Okay, so we are here in spiritual territory where it talks about information is coming from somewhere to somebody. There's somebody here, Kim, who's receiving vibrations. And we do know that that's what we are. We are a conduit, a bridge between source and the earth. That's why the Vedas say that's why we humans were put here in the first place. And we have this ability to evolve this planet because, if you remember, the story goes that Earth is a little too far away from the galactic center and was, as a being, doing things she wasn't supposed to do, and she just felt kind of left out or too far. She needed basically some transmitters and also amplifiers, which are a chakra system. They reflect that bridge, so they are like step down transformers, but also stepping up transformers. We also step up, and so that's what we're doing. Is it important for enlightenment? No, if you're interested in where you, if you want to find out, do I need to live here or not? I would say make it simple. Do you want to be there or not? Just go very, very simple. We can go spiritually complex and we can muscle test on it and we can do all kinds of stuff. Or we can just say, do I want to live here or not? And because it kind of brings you into like a 3-year-old, do you want that ice cream or not? Yeah, I want that ice cream. Do you want this toy? No, I don't want that toy. Do you want to play with that person? No, I don't like that person. I don't want to play with that person. It's very simple. So that is more authentic, keeping it very simple. It gets tricky as you go further on the spiritual path and you become more and more aware and you have more and more power to indulge. You will have more energy, right? More power to indulge in the subtler spiritual realms and get lost there. So my job as a teacher is to just say, get out of there and just be still, be quiet. Let's look at the awareness again, okay? You can either manifest things or you can manifest things. So you're always a manifester, always. So what are you going to manifest? You can manifest things in time and space, which means a story, karma, or you can manifest self, which we make it real, making it real. So you can make things real. Manifesting is just making things real. And we're going to, by the way, for those that are coming to the retreat or attending the retreat, this is going to be really the main topic, this manifesting. Because you're always awareness. You're always awareness. And your awareness is going to either turn to the seer, to the knower, or it's going to turn towards something that you can think about into the mind, into the field of mind. So you're going to manifest or realize what's in the field of mind. You're going to have an idea, a story, or whatever. And it becomes, first it's subtle and later it's dense. Suddenly you find yourself, in a house that you always thought of, because energy at some points, the more of your awareness, where awareness goes, energy flows. Still the same thing, really, actually. In reality, they're really the same thing. They just appear two different things in duality, and there's a mechanic to it. But in essence, it's always like, where are you hovering? Where are you indulging in? Is it in time and space? And that's what you're going to manifest. Is it the self? Are you turning your awareness towards the one that's actually aware? Then you got to manifest that, which means it's waking up, realizing, self-realizing. You're manifesting yourself, really, making that real. So we here in WS, we want to make real who we are. And we're using time and space and everything to... Just going to open up another question here. So to basically... Sorry, I lost my thoughts when I'm multitasking. Sorry about that. Let me see if it's coming back here. Every question here in WLS will tell me, indicate to me, if you are materializing something, that is in time and space of you materializing yourself. Every question. You can ask the same, one person can ask the question, this might be the same question, but how, what is wanted, what is being asked is bringing attention to the self or is bringing attention to the world. So I have a world question here, and I'm going, I'm not saying one is the worst, better than the other, it's just a choice. You are free to choose to manifest karma or dharma. I have no opinion on it. Everybody's free to do what they want to do. So there's one question here, and it says, this person was following somebody on YouTube and did some kind of exercise or something, was very involved with this person. This woman was then, or this female from the YouTube video was then in the room, helping her to untangle something in New Zealand, and et cetera, et cetera. Now the question is here, I did feel more relaxed in all this, but this person is connected to positive ETs and artificial intelligence. Is there anything I need to do further, like making sure I'm not attached in any way? Good. So we can see here there's a lot of playing around going on, which is fine. Everybody can do it, you know, play around. And the question is, was this there's probably some reason why that happened, to maybe find some healing for New Zealand or just have a spiritual experience or just change and alter your state of mind. You know, spiritual experiences, people who drink alcohol or take drugs or smoke or have a lot of sex or whatever, is all for us as humans to alter our experience. Because we cannot stand, like I said earlier, the mind cannot stand the same experience over and over again. So we need variation. And sometimes, you know, this regular state of consciousness is just incredibly annoying or boring, or it becomes painful. So people want to alter their consciousness and they start meditating. That's one way of altering consciousness. Or you do spiritual practices of some sort that will alter consciousness. Now, these spiritual practices can lead you to liberation, or they can lead you to a lot of spiritual experiences. So, now, the question is, you have to ask yourself, what is my aim here? Why am I doing this? It's very important. Whatever you do, why am I doing this? What is this for? What am I really looking for? If you're very honest with yourself, you're realizing, I just want to alter my experience. But is it just any kind of, like, any, just to alter, then we can just drink some whiskey, we altered our experience. So what exactly, because if we do spiritual stuff, we think, oh, that's much healthier than whiskey. Well, is it? I wonder it is. I wouldn't say maybe not, because whiskey might ruin your liver, but, you know, spiritual experiences, being stuck in the spiritual realm might give you like thousands and hundred thousands of lifetimes of reincarnation. And that might be way more toxic. You might want to think about that. So, again, there's a difference between spirituality and self-realization. So I just want to point that out again. And we have to go back to that. And I know I talk about this here and there over and over again. And then we kind of go again and just seem to be, once that's very clear and we can sit in that clarity, we can actually go and chop wood and carry water, which means that we can talk about a lot of things. But then suddenly, you know, we get all confused and the wood seems very difficult to chop and the water gets boring to carry. And we realize we're caught in the world again. And then we come back and reset again and look at, wait a minute, why am I doing all this? Where am I at? Like, am I really resting and putting my attention on the self? Am I being myself or am I caught? So that's to the questions I had. And so let me just kind of go down here. The list of hands up. First one is Davey. Hello, Davey. Hey.
Hi, Fatima.
Hi.
Thank you for bringing all this stuff up. You said something very interesting. You say, like, you can drink whiskey and change your consciousness, or you can do a lot of spiritual practice. And then it actually, from what I'm hearing, it actually works, because you say it may lead to, like, thousands of, like, reincarnation back.
Mm-hmm.
Can
you, okay, I'll say more to
say
that.
Say more about that.
Yeah. Do you have a cold? Are you okay?
I feel congested.
Oh, you feel congested? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, my point that I'm seeing here is that there's a program that drinking whiskey and getting drunk is not spiritual. But let's say going astral traveling or whatever, you know, is so spiritual and that's better. My point here is that if you are not doing things in order to truly find yourself, it's always going to bind you. And when you are dealing with higher frequency, there was a good question in the healing school by somebody who's known WLS. It's like, why do we incur more karma as healers? When I said, actually, the ones that incur the highest karmas are the gurus, people like me. Because the higher the vibration is, the more potent it is, which means that I can create potent healings or assist people in freeing people. But I can also, let's say I step into some wrong territory, into time and space, and do something not right, it will also have much more consequences. So a healer that is meddling around will incur more karma than somebody that maybe is a thief in a store and just, you know, grabbed a Coca-Cola and runs out of a store. Do you see what I'm saying? It has to do with vibration. So when you are playing around with the spiritual stuff, let's say you're out there manifesting your big apartment. YouTube is full of this, by the way. Manifesting your great apartment and this and that, and you're so powerful and you feel so great, like you did all that. Yeah, but who did it serve? Did it serve to liberate you, or did it serve to build your bigger ego? Because suddenly you are so powerful and you can do all these things. While you use forces of the universe, everything has a consequence and there's a payment for that. There will be a rebalancing. The payment is a rebalancing of things because you can only go so far into the darkness to then move back into the light. It's a swing. Not that it's evil or anything. Not like that. It's more, think of it more technically. That it has to be balanced, right? Because we need to slip through the balance of yin and yang into the realization of the self. So does that make sense? Or ask again if I haven't hit
okay.
it right.
Because the way I see it, I get it. You have more power and your whatever you do is more potent. But since you're not identify yourself as a person,
mm-hmm.
then it really doesn't matter, right? Because you're free from all
that's
of
right.
that.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. That's right. Now, the thing is that even when you're free, when you're really free and you know you're that, you still have free will to, you are so free to even bind yourself again. It doesn't, that freedom is not taken away. We have all the choices at all times. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the second thing is, you're saying people using their free will to manifest, you know, big house, you know, like
mm-hmm.
more stuff. But like the way I see it is like before we come here, that's like certain things we need to like go beyond or master. So usually people have a lot of trauma, they come here because they want to like transmute and transform that trauma to be something beautiful. It's almost like, okay, if you come here, you're very poor. The things you're here to master, your soul, is to go beyond that. So I don't know, is it really from the ego or from the soul?
It's a good question. It comes from the soul. There is a soul desire, and the soul desire can be worldly to learn and to experience certain things. And there's nothing wrong with that because, remember, in ultimate reality, this is all a dream. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't even matter if you have billions of reincarnations. So it is all about truly being conscious of how masterful we are and what we're doing with it. That's all. It's not about the result. You can go and manifest anything you want and play around with that. But it's like everything else. We are learning that things have consequences. Just like a child learns that if I throw this cup like this, it'll break. It's not a bad thing. It just learns something about the forces of the universe. And that's all great if that's what this soul wanted to learn. So we continue to learn. I'm not saying anything of this is bad. I'm bringing more awareness to things, how things function, work, and where is everybody here. You have a moment to reflect again. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Where are you going? What is the whole purpose of all of that? And are you free or not? That's all it is. Yeah?
Okay. And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of your MP3 is awareness is karma. I always think awareness free you from karma. But the way you say it, maybe the way I interpret is not correct, but the way you say it, it sounds like awareness bring more karma, or awareness is not a good thing.
I know what you mean. Awareness can only happen in time and space, right? You can be aware of something, you can be aware of awareness itself. That would be basically the best. But you're also always aware. You're aware right now of our conversation. So we are inside karma mm-hmm. right now, correct? Now, mm-hmm. it in itself is karmic because it's an action. Karma means action. So you're aware of something. It's a function. When you are in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, there's nobody aware. There's just the isness is just is. That's why there's a Narayana, the God Narayana is always asleep. If you ever looked at the pictures, he's lying on an ocean on some lotus and he has eyes closed. He's always sleeping. He's not aware of the world. He hasn't incarnated yet.
Okay. And
it's like when you're in deep sleep. When you're in deep sleep, you're not having any, you're not in karma. You are not aware of anything.
And karma doesn't need to be bad, right? It's just
action.
It's like a programming. When
it means
when
work.
I hear that automatic, okay.
Yeah. The Western people made it like it's a bad thing. It's karma. Everything's karma. Becoming enlightened mm-hmm. is karma too. It's like something had to happen for you. Mm, yeah.
Mm, okay.
It means action and work. That's basically best thing. If you think that, what is my karma? Your karma is to be Devi and go shopping and make love and I don't know, whatever. You know, it's just like, it's just action. It's work when you think of it that like that. And it can only happen in time and space.
Okay.
Mm. Good.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank
All
you.
Right. You're welcome. Thanks for the question. Good. We have Louise here. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Adatima. That was wonderful, and it kind of helps a lot with the question that I have today. So like when you mentioned free will, and I've just been kind of thinking lately about, you know, different experiences that I may want to have, but always now, right, I just feel, feel this light and this alignment, and although there's experience, and sometimes they're even contrary to one another, do you know, so I don't feel like I'm choosing some experience, right, I feel like there's steps happening. Like a really good, easy example is whether or not I'm going to get a dog, right? And I put a deposit some months ago, but yet I'm totally open. And there's also this feeling of, you know, just, you know, on the other hand, you know, wanting to be free, right, without any responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter to me, or even like I have this, you know, I don't even know if I call it desire, right? But I would like to, you know, move somewhere. But yet everything, like, it feels like, I guess that's my question. So I feel like there's there's always, right, experiences just moving through me. So, you know, there's experiences I would like to have, but there's nothing, like I don't feel attached to anything, and I feel like in each moment when I take a step, it's based on knowing, and in that moment I'll know, right, or life will unfold whether or not, you know, I'll get this particular puppy. So I really almost don't feel like there is choice anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You, because there's not, the ego isn't choosing, but the soul has already tendencies. There's already mm-hmm. these, what you call potential realities that we call now timelines, right? It's just like mm-hmm. that's going to show up because the soul is in a the soul is almost coming alive when the ego isn't. Once we feed the ego not anymore, because think of it this way, and I hope it's helped. The ego, like when we're just identifying as the ego, the soul is tied. It's almost like it has sort of tunnel vision. It just feeds a certain amount of life force to that ego, and that's it. But the soul can't really live because it has not come to life yet. It's just sitting mm-hmm. there. But once we let go of the ego and we realize we're not the ego and we just really don't identify and identification shifts into the soul. Now the soul is just coming alive. It's like, wow, I have power. I can do things. And you realizing you are, people call it sometimes, I had an awakening. So a lot of people on YouTube, I hear like I had my awakening and that's when I woke up. They are not really awake. They're just become conscious that they're not a robot anymore. They're just suddenly mm-hmm. like really here, a normal human being, really. And now this normal human being has all these tendencies. The soul is full of memories from many, many lives, and just all these relationships we have and these influences and all that stuff. So now the job is to become very autonomous and sovereign, to not be influenced by all the other forces on the soul world as well, and mm-hmm. from your own past lives and all that, and the ancestors. So there's and that can take lifetimes for many, many souls to actually extrapolate and realize I'm at the essence, at the core, I'm the Atman. So for the soul, it is actually a much more, it begins a real sacrifice for the soul to actually let go of all these things and just choose that. Because the soul has a lot of power, you have a lot more to lose. If you want liberation, if you want to really realize that your Atman is, you know, an expression of the Param Atman, the greater soul or God, whatever. And so now we're in this place where, and where you can sort of go back and forth. You're like, it's like, okay, I want to be liberated, but I also love playing, right? So it's like all of that.
Well, I don't know. Like I almost don't. Like I almost don't feel that. Right? Like I don't feel the attachment to it. I guess so. That's what I'm asking. Right? So there's all of these potentialities out there, and I assume, right, it's related to whatever is happening, you know, karma with my soul and dharma, but is that just a way of navigating kind of like I am now? Like if I'm feeling like if I move to do something, you know, I do it, but there's no attachment to it, right? Like I feel like, for example, with this puppy, so right now I don't have a clear knowing, right? Like I said, I feel things on either way, but I feel like I know when I know, or is that not the way to think about it? Am I going to go down a wrong path?
Oh, the soul level is not so much about attachment and detachment because you're actually yourself. There are mm-hmm. just forces moving. And um, the best way I always would describe it is like you follow your feet, you know, I've said that before. You don't think about it too much and you just act. It's more like the way you see little children. That's the best way I can explain it. They don't overthink and they don't care about the results. They just let the forces move through and let them burn. It's like the universe will burn certain things through you, like because there's things in the soul that can dissolve and other things that manifest, depending on the weight of the energy, and so it some things we act out or we do, and some things they just poof away, you know, when we sit in meditation or just disappears, and we are very there's a. I think the best words for me to come to me is surrender and sacrifice. It's to sacrifice all ownership of what goes on within you. That will take you to the realization that you are the source of what's going on. Can you feel that?
Yeah, I'm sitting with that, and I'm definitely gonna re-listen, and so that is
go away from things that are flowing through you. That's gone now. Okay, there's a time space element, but you are the source of all those experiences and everything you see, know, feel, and everything. You're the source of that. That's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more important. It's not important anymore what you do, when, why. That's all time and space. It's your awareness is resting. It's a form of karma for Devi. Karma. Your awareness is in the realization that you're the source of all these things. It brings you into the one-pointedness.
No, that's so awesome. Thank you. So in essence, it really doesn't matter. So I just follow my feet and I go and I do these things, and there's just these potentialities out there that are almost unfolding based on, you know, like what's happening with my illumination, I'll just say, with my...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So that's why it seems like there's these different things out there, but yet I haven't acted on them because it's just not the right time. Like you were saying when I was talking about getting involved with the election discrepancies and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because the source that you are is also everywhere outside of you, and so you are the greater whole that is needs to be cohesive. So you can't split yourself off and just go off do whatever. That's what ego can do in time and space, and when you have different forms, they have a certain range, like a dog on a leash, where you can kind of go a little bit to the right, to the left. There's enough play in this matrix to do that, but when you come into more reality, we're ending up in just oneness, in one seamless existence. There is no play. That's why truth is truth and there's no discussion. It becomes more and more tight. Everything has to become tight and not loose.
No, exactly. So that's why, like, I'm aware of these potentials, but that's why, like, I can't, it's not my person making a decision. It's just these possibilities are out there, but everything is going to coalesce in whichever way in that particular moment, and either will be or won't be. And I'm
correct.
Fine with that.
Correct.
Okay.
And all I did right now is to make you fully conscious of it.
Thank you.
I didn't even help you to do the right or the wrong thing. Did you notice?
I wasn't, honestly, no right or wrong thing. I was like, just help me understand. I see all these potentialities and beat me on the head when I'm not getting it.
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Louise. That's great. All right. Okay. This is our Linda here in Vancouver Island.
Oh, Aratima, thank you for such a rich call. Oh, my goodness. It's like a five-year university program for this call is what I had an interesting meditation. I was agitated, there was a part of me, I was agitated because I wanted to go into that stillness. And yet I had these weird sensations of my body going left, my body going right, doing weird things. And it's like I had to use every tool in the toolkit to just bring me back, because I just saw it as all distractions. And then I had a realization, I've been so busy with activity because of garden time and stuff. And mm-hmm. so, and then as we go along on the call, the conversation around action, non-action, mm-hmm. I got a lot out of that. And I got a lot out of what you were taught, just speaking with Louise. And so my question right now, which was not what I had at the very beginning, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. how that kind mm-hmm. of evolves, mm-hmm. is so the ultimate surrender then is you ultimately surrender the guru-disciple relationship
yeah.
to flow into isness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the guru-disciple relationship.
But it's a process to the surrender.
Say more about that?
The surrender part is the purposeful action.
Yes. Yes, it is also because it keeps it focused on, the guru is like a doorway, so it keeps you mm-hmm. focused so not to get lost in the material world and all that stuff. So, and once you go through that door, then it just is, right? There's no story left.
Yeah, so the part for me with creativity, because I've really recognized how I have a hummingbird mind when it comes to creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm just trying to sort out the question I had at the beginning with where I've evolved at right now. So just to let go of creativity is just, because I remember you saying after you reached your state of full awareness that you were surprised that creativity was still left. That you know, and so my understanding is that flowed in you, and because it could have been something totally different.
Yeah, that's correct. And it also depends where the realization takes place. Some people realize on the throat chakra. I mean, I have one, Swatantra's lineage is all about, like, that guru is just, he slept very little and was just banging out music and poetry all the time. Just crazy. Yeah. Kind of this massive creativity, as he was more like a Saraswati. It depends a little bit on our constitution. Like, I have Venus strong. I mean, I was born with a lot of strong Venus, which is creative, right? And mm-hmm. so it will just remain, like, you're not really changing your constitution after enlightenment. You remain still according to the birth, to how your design is. Your DNA isn't going to be altered, except if you go all the way, like, into the Siddha process of turn yourself into light. That is a different issue, but I can't fully talk about that. I can just speculate. But otherwise, you know, it... Yeah, you will remain creative. So I think that, but it will be easier, and you won't have all these hang-ups. Like, you know, artist block, you don't have artist block anymore.
No, I don't. I never do. I mean, like, yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say as this conversation is evolving is that I'm thinking, oh, is this creativity a distraction? Like, do I have to pull it in to go into nothingness? Like in my meditation where I just want to be nothing? Like, I love that
if you,
phase.
If you sit in, if you sit in meditation, you shouldn't be doing all this creative stuff. No, I mean, you can just sit down and say, I'm just going to let myself be brainstorm, right, and be all creative. That's fine. But if you want to self-realize, you have to turn away from the mind, and the mind is the place where the creativity takes place.
So even in your day-to-day movements, I guess, is where I'm going.
It depends what you want. Yeah, you can become a manifester and leave behind a lot of creative things. So I had a great creative experience. Because, again, it's just your soul, right? It's wanting to express in time mm-hmm. and space. Or you're going mm-hmm. to say, I really want liberation. And then you need to realize yourself. The other thing is,
I got it.
You got it. I can see one more thing.
Yes, please.
You can also do the opposite, because remember, it's a circle. You can go backwards or forwards. You're going to always end up on the same circle. You can also go fully into the material world and basically just create until all your karma is exhausted. That's pretty much what the dark side does. They go fully into the to shorten that and say, I'm going to end up in the same place, because they're right. They're right. They're going to end up in the same place. It's just a very violent way of doing it.
Wow. Arutima, may I sit with you for a few minutes?
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. The creator itself is creating. So it's always, always creative. So you can create from the soul level, or you can create from the self.
Well, that was beautiful. Thank you so
You're welcome. Thanks, Linda. Okay, it's Danica. Hey, Danica.
Hi. I want to thank you for this call, because exactly what I wanted to ask you about, you've addressed all of it.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I was so caught in this in-between of my mind and my, always, because I always go back to my mind, right? And I was so stuck that you had completely forgotten that I have free will to actually make a choice, and that I can actually turn on the mind, and I don't have to keep going on that hamster wheel and the insanity of it. Like, it was so crazy, and just like you said, you are the door. You've brought me right back, and I'm so thankful. And I'm wondering if I may sit with you, and if you would make any suggestions for my practice that I need to increase to help me stay on this path and not go back up into the mind and the insanity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, first of all, you realize that you are never in the mind. You can never be caught in the insanity. You're always free. So it's just an experience. That's what your mind tells you and reflects. It's a mirror, and you're believing it. So that's, we might want to first correct that.
Okay.
Secondly is, tell me one of the mantras that you like doing. You push, I know you do several mantras. Just tell me one of the mantras.
I really like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's one of my favorite ones.
Okay, good. Okay, let's take that one. I want you to, instead of just saying the mantra, like in terms of the amount, I'm going to show you something. You're going to say it much slower, and you're going to follow into where the energy goes. You're going to use the mantra like a ladder.
Okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do you notice something? What does it feel like?
Well, it feels like it's winding down. It started off winding up, but then I went in and started winding down. And when I followed that down, it's like a more here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I want you to follow the windings. You're going to use the mantra like a vehicle that kind of goes down like a some kind of labyrinth of
okay.
your mind. And you're just going to go really slow. And you let the mantras, you're not getting off the mantra, you stay with that vibration. That vibration will begin to straighten things out, clear things up, and you're going to end up in places where you can't speak the mantra. Then you're going to say it, just you're going to think it, but until you cannot even think it anymore, you're going to come to a full stop, and you're going to be happy.
Okay.
Okay? Good.
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Anika.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Katya.
Oh, hi, Rachma.
Hey,
I have a couple of questions. One of them is maybe you can help me to have a bit of awareness with one of the situations. So it's basically there is a girl at work who keeps doing my work without asking me or just doing it behind my back. So I'm trying to understand, like obviously I get annoyed or irritated. So there's a reaction to that. So in class, I tried not to react, but I was like, well, no, let's go deep into reaction. I'm irritated. Let's be irritated. Let's do it full on.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to understand, apart from reaction, is there anything else I'm not aware of? Because I know she's not just doing it with me. She did it with others. So
yeah,
there's a pattern for her, but there's also a pattern for me as well.
Well, it is if you are... is there a reaction that where you suffer from, or is there a reaction because life just needs to be reacted to, you know? Are you suffering? Is it really bothering you?
Yes, yeah, so that's why I decided to go deep into that and
mm-hmm.
just kind of go all the way into irritation, because at first I didn't want to have it. I was like, no, let's push it away. But it was like, no way, I'm suffering, so I'll go deep into that and be irritated full on.
Yeah. So basically, ask yourself how does it make you feel? I mean, irritation is you don't like it, right? But does it make you feel attacked, trespassed, worthless?
Trespassed, for sure.
Trespassing. Good. Okay. So she's showing you somewhere in your aura where you have a pattern of being trespassed, and so
mm-hmm.
and you are fighting it, which is correct, but and it's the right thing to do. You don't want that. But when we fight it, we remain in 3D. In order for yourself to get out of it and to stop this whole cycle, you want to basically you can do a square on it, or you do, what's the opposite of being trespassing? Is there an opposite for you? Welcomed, maybe, or invited.
Invited.
Okay, just feel that frequency now and match it with the trespassing energy. So, and then offer both up. Oh, it's starting to merge there. You feel that?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Merge.
Yeah. And once it's merged, like, what's the state you're experiencing right now?
More love.
Love. Yeah. So when you think of her and the whole situation, you're totally untriggered right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. So this is just another example that when we are so-called triggered, it just shows us a piece of the invited part, being invited program, was in the unconscious, and it needed to be made whole. You were made whole with the conscious part, which was trespassing, and the unconscious was invited. And we put the two halves of the apple together, and your consciousness whole right now. And you understand, because we need to understand both the yin and the yang, the dark and the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the invited part, I was not conscious for sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. Thanks for that example.
So Another question. Last time when we talked, I mentioned about that my ego is pretty strong, and you talked about going into the battle. So what I was trying to understand
the reason. Sorry. What was strong?
I mentioned, so last time when we talked, I said, well, I've definitely noticed in the last year or maybe whatever, 2 years, that my ego is overall is pretty strong. And you mentioned that at some point I'll go to a battle either with you or with myself. So is it because the ego becomes so big that in order to dismantle it, you know, you have to have a battle? Is it the reason for that?
Because when you do practices, you build energy and awareness, and the mind, that part that identifies that you make the I, the sense of I, the ego, that's the one that started out with the practices and everything, and then you become more powerful. But the ego in its nature is always for separation and maintaining its own separateness. So there comes a point where one gets challenged by life or by a teacher to basically make a decision. Are you going to are you going to use this power, or are you going to not touch it? When you don't touch it and you just remain very humble and innocent, although you're very, very powerful, then what happens is this power begins to, the egoic structure starts to kind of give way, and that power then can be literally used. The soul is off the like the soul itself then is able to express that, and then the next step is where the soul has to let go as well and sacrifice its herself into the greater whole, and which is unknown. And this is the scary part. This is why it is a scary thing to do, because you don't know where you're going. The self source is nothing the mind can't follow into it, so it becomes an act of trust. But if you know from the beginning, and that's the trick, I'm just make this very clear here, that you can never be hurt, you can never be lost, you can never be nothing. Nobody can take you and do anything to you, because you are always that. If you understand that, you will be fearless, because it doesn't really matter. Everything we do to ourselves. Even if a bad guru hurts you, you're biting yourself. We always do it to ourselves. Even on the spiritual level, we attack ourselves. When that is really understood, you are fearless, and you can just go down that path, you know, with a steady footing. Does that explain that?
I think so. So when you get disillusions along the way, does it help you with that process? The process is not as
it's not as bad. Yeah, for most people, when there's a development of heart and love on the way, and you have practiced taking it on the nose and keep smiling, it's going to be much easier. But you will notice on the way, if you, let's put it this way, anybody here that has noticed on the way where they come maybe into a little bit of a battle with me, they would never tell me maybe, but inside maybe they have a bit of mistrust, or they are critical, or they are just kind of thinking, no, I know better. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it this way. Or I don't even have to talk to her because I already understand all this. These little tiny things are usually indicators that there's going to be at the end, when you will merge with me in your life or not later down the road, let's say sometime, merging into source, there's going to be a bit of a battle there, because you have never addressed the battle on the way, right? You've avoided it. On top of, like, not you, but in general, you, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's relevant to me too. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great, oh, that's interesting. Question. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. Great questions. Okay. This is Shelley now. Hey, Shelley.
Oh, this is really good, Aratima. I'm hoping I can, make sure that I'm on. That I'm doing everything right, which I think I am, because you just clarified something with Katya. So since our last session, what I have been doing is literally just being with that. That's it, all day long. Mm-hmm. Get up, I sit in my meditation. It's always, and that is that peaceness, that silence. more silence is coming in, more peace is coming in. Mm-hmm. Here was where I was getting caught up, and yet I recognized that it was the mind, but here's where the little confusion comes in, and I need the clarity, I guess. Mm-hmm. So as I do this, and I mean, it's moment by moment. I am like moment by moment throughout mm-hmm. the day, just being present. When something yep. comes up, I sit with it, but I'm in that nothingness and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nothing there. And I'm like, all right, so what is this when you ask and you shall receive? What about this? The more I'm going to use the word spiritual lightly here. The more spiritual you become, the more you understand and know. Well, I don't know anything. I mean, well,
yeah,
I
because you're not
there.
Yeah, because you're not doing a spiritual practice right now. You're doing an enlightenment practice. You're doing a liberation practice. Asking and shall receive is all. That's why religions catch you, right? It's all about the spiritual.
And that's the psychism, correct?
Yeah.
Because that was all the psychism that came into me, and now I sit here and I'm like, there's nothing, and yet there's everything. Here is that nothingness.
That's right. There you go.
It's like
exactly. You stay with
it's
that.
Everything and it's
everything
nothing.
Exactly. That's right. It's nothing to the mind.
Okay.
That nothing is.
Yes.
You have the registering of the mind, and the mind is. And I do know it because I did the same thing. It was freaking boring every second of the day, just kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, that's it. That's my life and mind. And I shut up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mind comes in. Oh, really? It's like, I want to promise you, everything. It's a snake in the garden, right? it's just not exciting.
Yeah.
What do you think? Were you born to do this? It's just retarded, right?
So you just get up. Basically, what you're doing, Narottama, is you get up every day and you're just responding to what is.
Mm-hmm.
You're being present and you respond. If I feel something, I feel it. I allow it to be there. But I'm not looking for anything because there's nothing there.
Exactly.
There's nothing there. Okay.
That's right. It's nothing to the mind. Listen. Nothing to the mind. But it is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now the nothing and the everything will merge. You can't make that happen. It will happen to you. But you have to make yourself available to it. Just the way Katya just did. She merged invitation and trespassing. If you merge nothingness and everything, well, guess what's going to happen?
Gotcha.
Bingo.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. This is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hey, Rajana. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'm on my cell phone, and we don't get a service in this house, so I just wanted to make sure.
No, that's good. It's good. I hear you clearly.
All right. So thank you for opening up this conversation again. Every time we have one of these, it just makes me want to do pretty much nothing all day, but absolutely try to, you know, put my focus on awareness, and then it's like I don't want to do anything else. And
but you still have to chop wood and carry water, so just live your life still, right?
I know, and then that's like, I don't know.
How do you do
I
that?
Right, exactly. I find it difficult because then it's like, well, then my attention won't always be on awareness because I'll be focused on other things because doing things in life will require my attention.
But that's where the second attention comes in.
Right.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I guess maybe it's... I have some tears and emotions coming up.
Let it happen. Stay in the second attention. Or don't let the second attention float away. Just let it happen. It is happening. And just like the sun is setting somewhere, or not right now actually, but birds are chirping somewhere. It's just happening. Be uninvolved, but yet be alive. you feel like there's a deep desire for liberation?
I feel like right now, with where my attention is that I don't need to do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But is it doing you mean physically, or you as consciousness not doesn't need to do anything?
Yeah, I'm kind of moving away from that now. My awareness is moving more towards the surface.
So there is a moving from here to there. Can you be both at the same time? Can you just be here and at the same time we're having a conversation? And there is no separation between the first and the second attention.
I feel like things are shifting.
Okay. That. You are looking at the world of forms right now. You're tracking it. Can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? Where are you? Who are you right now? Turn your attention to yourself. What is arising right now?
I feel like I can just see that pull. I guess like there's a lot of sort of the tracking. Like all I'm trying to turn towards myself, but it's like I feel like I keep landing on tracking the movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a habit there.
What can I do about that?
You have to find the, because it's an addiction. It's the addiction of, it's usually based on fear or discomfort or sometimes a lack of wisdom of why would it be okay to not track it? Will I be safe when I don't track it? People who track a lot naturally are just some kind of trauma there sometimes. Not saying that's true for you, but there's usually some kind of fear there. You're not comfortable just not knowing. You're not comfortable with just nothing. You have to know. Because when you know, you can make sure that you're safe. That's really where that comes from. Because ego ego in itself is fear, right? So when you become conscious of that, then the tracking will start to diminish. Yeah. Can you feel that fear? Can you feel that like that? Oh, I need to know. Can you feel that? Can you find that?
Yeah, I think it can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make some squares. The need to observe everything, to track everything, the fear to. And then the opposites, and just kind of explore that a bit, and just remove that, you just kind of soften and clear these tendencies. All right. I'll let you go, Danielle. I'm going to move on. Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. This is Jeannie right now. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi. Wonderful call. You've already answered some of the thoughts that I had, but I wanted to ask you, or maybe just if I explain what I always seem like I'm always all over the place when I get on the call. But anyway, so in my life right now, my husband had rotator cuff surgery, and it's even more intense than when he had the heart transplant, because at least I could come home from the hospital. But now he's been in pain daily, and he doesn't sleep. And then there's other things that it just seems like his health issues. So, but the interesting part for me is to not be drawn into it, to see him and then to be detached or just neutral about it and help if I want to or can. I'm seeing my vantage point or where I'm holding myself during my day-to-day, whether it's with my kids interacting or if you worry about them, pulling back from that, like you were telling Danielle to, you know, kind of redirect her thoughts or pull herself, realign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting perspective to be, I guess I'm holding myself where my eyes are closed. I'm holding my hands in front of me like I'm in a core where I look out at my life as these are all mirror images of me happening, or if it's happening and I'm allowing it. And if I start to go to worry or fear, then I neutralize that. I drop the charge to it. I don't have an aversion or an attraction to it. So it's just, I'm trying to stay in this neutral position as much as possible to allow. And I asked God to just let me be, use me, let me be your tool, or allow, I realize I am me, but I'm also God. We're made in the image of God, that I just want to help. And so does that sound like?
Yeah, okay, good. You let me help you here. You're doing several practices at the same time. And I'm going to take those apart and help you to make it a little better. When we are, there's a Raja Yoga and there's a Yana Yoga. There is a yoga of transcendence where you are basically staying neutral and you're kind of detaching from the world. That's sort of an in-between step, because at some point you have to merge again and realize you are everything. So it's actually a bit of a, in the modern world, I would say it's not a very good method, and it can cause problems in this time. I prefer that you are not staying neutral, but you're literally remaining present with your attraction aversions. You're just aware. Remember, it's not what you do or not do. Who cares about that? Because it's all a dream anyway. What matters is, are you conscious and aware or not? So if you have a reaction and it's driving you nuts that you can't sleep or this and that, just be that fully, but be aware that you are that. Be really aware of it. You are then present with yourself and the world around you, and there's a seamlessness. It's like a mini illumined state you're experiencing. You see what I'm saying? You're not separating things into transcendence. Do you know what I mean?
I'm getting it, and my throat is activating while you're talking.
Mm-hmm. And then when you said about God, make me the instrument, that is, you would say, karma yoga and bhakti yoga, which is fine. You can add that. You can add that as another yoga where you just sort of, it helps you to surrender. So that's totally fine. I personally don't think it's very good in the current times to do too much transcendence work. Try to detach. That's like, that was back then done in the third paradigm, maybe even the second paradigm, where people went out in the mountains and really detached. That path is impossible. You can't really do this when you're in the world where there's an astral soup of all kinds of stuff, especially right now where we're becoming more and more empathic. You can't transcend, really. The only way you can transcend is to truly transcend, which is the ultimate practice that right now that Shelley is doing, where you realize that where you really remain in emptiness 24/7, and you have that, you've practiced this and practiced, and it becomes like really your natural home, and you're not blocking your pranic flow or your engagement in the world. You keep chopping wood and carry water. You're really here. On the outside, people should not recognize that you're a yogi. They shouldn't feel like, oh, she is so aloof or something. They shouldn't be able to catch you like that. They should feel like you're really there, alive. But when you look in your eyes, there is light and absolute clarity. It's like you're like a lion. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can be a lion or a lioness. I think so.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So we are now in Calgary with Winona.
Hi, Ratima. Thank you for this call. I had a question, but I think we'll just let that sit because there's been so much richness. I'm sure the answer is here. Can we just sit for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, thank you. Thanks, Fiona.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have Jennifer here. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
You know, I've been listening to this call and wondering, well, I had a lot of wondering about things, which is the reason why I wanted to talk with you. But one was like, you know, I feel like I have moved. Well, I feel, you know, I feel very calm about things. I feel at peace. I've been sleeping so much better. Mm. And I don't know if those are signs that I have, things have improved in my life, or I'm just, and the same thing with an issue. I had an issue with my sister and my husband. And I didn't go on defense. I didn't try to work. I didn't try to argue it out with either one of them. I just laid down, thought about it, and waited for it to dissipate in my body. But then maybe I'm just letting it go and I'm not doing anything really. I'm just like, okay, I'm just not doing anything to help resolve any issue. I'm just letting it go.
You are resolving. You are resolving. You are,
okay,
instead
good.
Of going into out into the dance of duality, you're literally letting it dissolve or neutralize within your own body. So yes, you are, and that changes the reality around you. So you're speaking without speaking. It's like silence is louder than words, sort of thing. And yes, if you sleep better, you have you're very at peace, and you can actually have the clarity of mind to actually see the conflict or what goes on and make the choice to say, you know what, I'm just going to let that sort of move through. I'm just going to be with it. That's the real work. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, that's good, because I was thinking after I listened for a bit here, maybe I'm just ignoring and I'm not even resolving anything. I'm just trying to ignore it and let it go and going off into never, never land and just
No, if you can go into denial, you can block things and you can push it into the unconscious. Yes, that would be what you just described. But if you are relaxing, you're breathing and you're conscious and aware and you can feel the pranas moving and dissolving, and then you shift, and that shifting that you feel, then you actually are really watching actually how that reality, remember, everything that's around us is the past. This was created a long time ago. So you're just basically dissolving something or letting it dissolve. You don't give it extra energy. You don't water it and fertilize it. You're letting that karma literally go back to source. Because remember, within you, you are a point of reality where things disintegrate into.
Well, that's great. Thank goodness. Now I just have to do it with food.
Yeah, exactly. If you feel like you have a need to eat, where is this coming from? And you're just going to sit it out. Like the way I said to my son when he was bored. I was 8 or 9. He says, I'm so bored. I said, good, sit down, enjoy it. He's like, what? And I said, go fully enjoy boredom. And then he sit. And like 3 minutes later, he just runs up the stairs. He's like, where are you going? I thought you were bored. He says, what? He had totally forgotten he was bored. I've totally dissolved it. He didn't even know that he was bored. It was gone. So you can sit with your desire to eat. All right. Thank you.
Oh, that's good to know, too. But the other thing the other comment I know that I wanted to make was that, you know, I know that I have probably had trust issues, which is probably comes back to not trusting, like even yourself. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that I think it was just things that from my past that I just didn't trust. There's no trust there. And I definitely hope that the trust has improved. Because
I haven't really
been with people for 2 years, so it's hard to say whether or not I trust you. No, I don't trust you.
Right. Well, I would say that if you are able to withstand the onslaught of your karmic forces of desire and repulsion, you know, let's say these conflicts and all that, if you can actually manage it, that's power, right? You're basically not flowing with it. You don't get all involved and try to consolidate your point of view and your place. You're literally just like standing there in the wind and everything's moved, because the pranas are like wind, right? They push and pull. It can be like a storm, and you're sitting it out. You are actually trusting that you're safe. You're actually fearless in that moment. So you will find that once you do meet people, that you actually can remain in your core and you feel pretty comfortable. You will find you know, I remember, I mean, I felt very uncomfortable around people when I was very young, very insecure, like in my teen years and my early 20s. I wasn't very secure in myself. And I was way too aware, and I didn't have enough power to withstand the forces of the adults around me. So I was really uncomfortable. I had to really match the energy of with the power with my awareness. So yeah, I think you'll be good.
Well, okay. The other thing is, you know, I've been doing this chant, you know, Om Namah Shri Vaya. You know, I turned it into a song, and it's not going very slow in any way, but it just goes to a tune of one that I heard at church, unfortunately. But you know what? That's okay. I'm going to combine two of them and feel good about it.
That's right.
And is that okay to do? I was going like, maybe I'm not being very respectful here.
It's beautiful that you're asking that. It's Om Namah Shivaya. Well, I always say, when you look up in the heavens, do you see boundaries and fences? When you look down, there's garden fences all over. You look up in the sky, there's no fence, no boundaries. In essence, it's all the same thing. You know, Shiva will appear as Krishna, Saraswati Swami appears as Christ, whatever. They make actually, and Jason talks about that too, they just kind of, sometimes they just humor us or have humored us. It's all the same thing in different colors, you know. So if you're from your heart, just don't worry about it. All that matters is the love.
Oh, okay, and now that you say it, you said it, it sounded different than I said it, so it's like, is it okay if I say it differently? It's like,
well, you want to say the mantra, you want to say correctly, because they are Okay. You're literally playing the piano inside of yourself. You don't want to make a dissonance. It's a, you're like an instrument. It's Om Namah Shivaya. And so you can make it, you can make the tonalities or the pitch you can do, or short, like, what do you call that? Slow or fast, but it has to be sort of Om Namah Shivaya, should be pretty much like that.
Okay.
All right.
And
good.
May I sit with you, please?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to look in the back here, and there is, Davy said, I had a very interesting experience. I was talking to my best friend's boyfriend. He really loves my friend, not in a judgmental way. In a split second, I saw that what was so-called love, romantic relationship is all programming. It's not really real. That's true. People are trying so hard to be in love, but from what I saw, they don't really have to do anything. Those who has a partner is not better than the other. The program about love and relationship brings so much suffering to humanity. Do you get what I'm saying? Can you say more? Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's the biggest almost like amount of, you know, time we waste is about this romantic stuff. Funny thing is that Hollywood is full of that, right? They kind of rub it in our face so that we don't really become truly aware. Yes, it is actually, it has nothing to do with real love. It has to do with all attachment, projection, desire, and all that. Still second chakra. Reem saying, can I sit with you? I would like to check on me as I've been in a very calm place. Okay. Yes, very good, very good. Nice. I can see, yes, very good, good. Okay, I'm coming to Antonia here. Antonia, there you go.
Hi, Aratima.
Hi.
A lot of teaching on this call.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful. I'm going to have to go over and over. Couple of things. When you were talking to... Well, when Kathy, I was talking to you, it reminds me of something.
Mm-hmm.
That I had a battle with you. You and I, we had a battle.
Yeah, we had one. Yes, we did.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes, remember back then?
Aware of it. I wasn't aware of it. I didn't want it to disrespect you. Or, I mean...
That happens from the inner child. Don't worry about it. It just... It just happens, and it's totally fine. And maybe there'll be another one. Maybe we can enjoy it.
No, it's not going to. No. Because I learned a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot from that mm-hmm. retreat, and I'm still here. And I love you, and I respect you very, very much, very much.
Yeah, I know.
So I was just going to mention something, and I know you have done so much teaching here, but I was going to mention this to you, see if you have anything to say about it. The light is still very strong outside.
Mm-hmm.
The fog is getting thicker and thicker. And also, I'm experiencing like that. And then also I can experience the golden light when I meditate fully.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then when I do like a remote healing, I can experience a very bright light,
mm-hmm.
beautiful bright light.
Yeah.
But the last week or so, I've been experiencing the primordial light around me, which is like colorless, like the watercolor, but it's so peaceful. Is that correct? Did it matter that I experienced that? No?
Does it matter? There's a question in there like, did I evolve? Did I go to the next level or something? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. I'm asking without asking. You got it.
Yes. So, okay. Next step for you is to, because you do have a very strong mind, to not judge and measure like where you're going and all that, but rather become aware what is the finest, most purest light. Go into that, be that, love it. Find out what is it? What is it? Can you be like it? What is it? But not with your thoughts. I want you to do this with your heart.
Well, of course, it'll be the primordial light.
Whatever it is, we don't even have to ask it. Don't use your mind. Just love it. When you love, you love your grandchildren. You don't look, he has feet and legs. You don't use your mind. You're just loving it. It's a totally different dimension. So from your heart, you are relating to the light and becoming it, loving it, wanting to know it so intimately that you're actually dissolving into it. You're becoming it. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, good. Awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. This is 44793. Anya?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Ratima. It's Anya. Can I sit with you, please? I've been feeling very stressed and ungrounded and all over the place. So I feel I need a bit of...
Okay. So you're looking at your feelings, right? You don't like your feelings.
Mm. No.
Feelings always come and go. So there's an aversion to feelings.
It feels even like so much more than the feelings. It feels like it's gripping my core so that I cannot even find my core.
But you are your core. Nobody can actually grip you. So it's an experience that seems very, very strong, mm-hmm. and you are being tricked. It's a very strong experience, but you cannot be gripped. And you can feel the aversion right now, right? You feel the struggle?
Yes.
It's like Aratama is not doing what I want her to do. I want her to fix my problem. So that is really behind it. That gripping is your need to have something a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you follow into that? And it's what I mentioned earlier. We are doing this always to ourselves. Everything we do to ourselves. You're gripping, gripping, gripping.
I know, but this feels like such a blind spot. Or something like that.
Yeah, that feels like a blind spot. Feels like a bright spot, a light spot, a dull spot, a blind spot. Doesn't matter, whatever. It's a feeling.
So are you advising me to move into it or observe it?
No, to realize. To realize that it's a feeling. That's all I'm asking you to do. It's very simple. It's a feeling. Just realize the feeling. You can choose to realize or not. You can just say, okay, that's fine, but I still don't like it. Or you can say, I realize it's just a feeling. I have the wisdom to realize that I'm not a feeling. So I am actually free from the feeling.
And I've been trying to do that, but it seems to me at the moment that I can't. There's like this nauseated fear within me that grips my everything inside.
You're still looking at it for a result. You are looking. When you realize something, that doesn't mean that the feeling will go away. You are coming to the table right now wanting the feeling to go away, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking for a healing. You don't ask for a realization.
Mm-hmm. So I need to realize that, look at it, until it.
No. You can't say to God, you know, I'm going to be a nice person, but I want you to give me a new car next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way it works. It's called sacrifice. It's like, God, whatever you want, fine. You know, it's okay. I don't know. But this is what my life is. I'm alive, I'm living, and I have life right now, and life is happening, and I'm grateful. That's one way of looking at it.
Mm.
Eventually, you know, Anya, you have to go there, because otherwise the healing becomes round and round like a hamster wheel. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're not really healing, you're just fixing a problem. It's like whiskey. So also the realization how attached we are as women to feeling good.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And then we come down to the fact that you are attached to being a woman. So we're going really deep here today. It's like, you know, you are not a woman. You are spirit. Spirit is free. Spirit doesn't have feelings. And then the mind says, but what, hey, wait a minute. What's the point of all this? We talked about it earlier. It's all, spirit is everything. It is everything. You're also this feeling, but you're looking through the lens of your emotional body and through the senses. So I'm pulling you just out of your senses and your emotional body so you can have a real experience of your feelings.
Mm.
And you realize it's all just beautiful. It's just love. It's light. And it's okay. And it's okay to feel miserable.
Mm, yes.
You know, like if you really say, okay, fine, that's how I feel for the rest of my life, that would be my kind of tantrum way of how I approach this sometimes. Because I'm stubborn. It's like, okay, fine then. That's all I get? Fine. But it really did help me to basically handle it.
Mm, yeah, because, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I know you can do it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so we have three more callers and we're done. It's a long call here. 3364, hello.
Hello, Martina. It's Nadia from France.
Yes, hi, Nadia. Hey.
Hey. I wanted to ask you if you could please say a bit more about these things that we are doing to ourselves. Actually thinking that other people are doing them. You mentioned earlier that even if, for example, a bad guru is hurting us, it's actually us doing it to ourselves. I don't have that kind of experience, but I just use it as an example. It's more about relationships with other people and constantly trying to blame them or getting so involved and attached to difficult situations with people and trying to solve them, but maybe, yeah.
Well, you know, within... When we're in duality, right, duality in itself is, of course, everything is real. In duality, I can pour coffee into a cup, and it's happening on that level. But in reality, it's all light, so that nobody's pouring, right? So the way one of my teachers explained it is that, let's say if somebody says, you're really a bad person, and I'm really offended, what I do is I bite myself. The other person isn't biting me. The other person is offering me information. Yeah, information that then I take and I then convolute my aura in a certain way to experience its matching effect. Because you know, everything's duality. If somebody gives me, let's say, hatred, then I will have to, then I love myself enough to convolute myself to match that. It's really all really messed up, but that's what we do. We hurt ourselves. We get down on ourselves. This is when we are free. If somebody says, oh, you're just stupid, we will not convolute ourselves anymore. We remain radiant or as nothingness, and it's not real. And we realize it's not real. We might be really nice, and we just say, hey, are you okay? You know, like, what's up? Or we just don't react because don't make it real. We have to make it real. And then we really bite ourselves. We really hurt ourselves. So this is why we have to wake up to the fact that this is all, the world around you is the past, and it's all programming. It's our own script. We scripted this in a sort of weird way by using forces, pranas, and molded them in a certain way because we're creators. We created a real life movie story we're in.
I think I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't understand one word that you used a few times, convolute yourself.
Convoluted. Convoluted is maybe what's in English. When things are not smooth and clear, they're like complex and difficult and kind of edgy, raggedy, you know, like complex in a bad way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, if we are staying in our core and we are staying conscious of our true being, mm-hmm. then even if somebody else says, oh, you're stupid, or just an example, or you're this or that, and we don't match our energy or our consciousness mm-hmm. with the idea of being stupid, we are not hurting ourselves, but we're staying free, basically, so the other person can do say what they want.
That's correct. What will happen most of the time is that the reason why that person is saying something, because this universe is a magnetic love universe, it wants to make you conscious of an unconscious pattern of self-hatred. That's why that person comes and says you're bad or something. And then that's why it could be practiced to say thank you to everything, because everything makes us conscious. That's the only reason why we're here. We're not here to, I don't know, it's really hard to understand because it seems kind of boring. But if we understand we are consciousness, we're spirit, then yeah, we're here to become conscious. And so when somebody then makes us conscious of what's in our aura, there is a reaction on the surface level. There's this old program being shaken up of being worthless. But you're in the core. You can see that and become, and you, oh, there it is again. And you can be with it. You don't have to hate it or fix it or pretend it's not there and push it away. You let it, what we call, flow through, you know. You just leave
okay.
it. Yeah.
And that's why you were saying that actually the situation had been created in the past already, because the worthlessness, unconscious being there in the aura has been created in the past, and it's just now being mirrored by the person in front of us.
Correct. And yes, and the thing is that just when you understand that we go through an evolutionary process where we were less conscious than now, we are going to interpret things with in 3D through judging things as right and wrong. But in 2D and 1D, we didn't judge things as right and wrong. So we actually overlay. And that's the greatest teaching. If there's anything in the Bible, it's about do not judge. That is the key. Because when we really apply that to not judge, we're actually not hammering and cementing 3D down. Because when it's like little children, they do things. If they continue doing this when they're like 40 years old, there's something wrong with that. But everything was fine for wearing diapers when you were a year old or a baby. And so, but we evolve and we adapt. So, and as the world around us makes us conscious of our old ways of having done things, yeah, something happened to us and we felt really bad about it. And suddenly somebody says, you know, you're worthless. That triggers a situation in us that we experienced that was adequate at the time. But now it's basically makes us just feel worthless, because in 3D,